We've been talking about wonder through the whole month, and you don't get to reflect on it as much as I do, but you could. I mean, there's the resources on your computer. We actually have this little booklet of that has little exercises of just checking out what wonder means in your life and how you might work with it. But it's meant a lot to me this month. And here's the reading that we've been using for wonder, and it's from Sharon Parks. By wonder, I mean the awe and gratitude invoked in those moments when we come alive. Just remember that, moments when we come alive to the intricate luminosity, beauty, power, and vast grandeur of the universe, or some tiny part of it. And the amazement we feel that we are in any measure privileged to behold it. By wonder, I mean also the sense of mystery that cannot be exhausted even by our most magnificent forms of knowing, including the awe-full ambiguity that arises from any reasonable assessment of the complex, dynamic, and confounding character of life. She begins this piece about wonder by saying, "The paradox that is as integral to life as suffering is that it is matched by wonder." It is matched by wonder. Even though we have a raw awareness of the stark and tragic dimensions of suffering, they are matched by wonder. I think that for me, Christmas has become that matching of suffering. You heard it in the bleak midwinter, in this world of pain. When our hearts are open, love is born again. It's matching that sense of suffering with wonder. Not that one is without the other, or that if you're experiencing one, you have to experience the other, but that it just, it's there all the time. So that's kind of what I'm going to address a little bit this morning. During the last week, I've had three requests that I remember. One is one person said to me, "Talk to me about hope, because I need to hear about it. With all that's going on in the world, I don't feel very hopeful." The other one was, "Help me make sense of the world. With all that's going on, I can't make sense of it." And the third one, what was the third one? Seriously. Let me see. I was afraid of that. That's why I brought some notes up here, even though I was going to try this. Oh, it was just pretty simple. It was saying, "I'm looking forward to the Christmas Eve service because I need a jolt of Christmas. I'm not feeling it. I need a jolt of Christmas so I can really get into the Christmas spirit." Well, if you look at the title for this morning, it's Awake to a Solstice Christmas. And that's how I'm going to approach these questions. First is the word awake. Awake. We've been talking about it in terms of wonder. You can, when you think about awake, what is it? It's open your eyes, right? Or if Claudine Grady were here, and Claudine Grady is blind, she's dead now, but she was quite a member of this congregation, Charles Grady's wife, she would say, it's open your awareness to being in the day. And you think about awake. What did we say in that reading? To come alive, right? That's what we do in the morning, isn't it? Awake to the morning. We come alive. The morning light shines out of the darkness every day. We get a chance to come alive. The Buddhists talk about being awake in terms of what? What's the word for awareness? Enlightenment. Light. Enlightenment. And they say it's to be awake. We talked about that earlier when we talked about looking into each other's eyes, sitting with the person. Just change the experience of looking at me. You're looking at me, because I'm not looking into every, well, maybe your eyes, but I'm not looking into everybody's eyes. So just take that moment and the different feeling for you if you were to look at you and look into your eyes, or turn and look at your neighbor and look into their eyes, rather than being like this or that. You're awake, right? Eyes open to you and to the person around. Awake. When the person asked me the question, talk to me of hope. There's hope right there. I can't talk to you that the world's going to be different. I can't tell you that global warming is not going to have results. I can't tell you that your political party is going to be in office and you're going to feel good because of that. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that if you awake to the wonder, to the life around you, not just to the screen in front of you, but to the people and the dawn and the life around you, there is joy that can come forth and make you feel it in that wondrous moment. Awake. If you turn to Mary Oliver's morning poem in our hymnal, 536, I think, but it's every morning the world is created. Every morning. We don't think that. We just take it for granted. Every morning the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun, the heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and are attached to the trees. I just took my glasses off. I did that right. And fasten themselves to the high branches, and the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still somewhere deep within you a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning. Whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. I had never read or thought of this morning poem as a statement of suffering matched by wonder every day. Whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray, the earth is exactly what it wanted. The second question was, make sense of the world for me. What's going on in the world? Well, I can't really do that. The world makes sense. It's just our behavior that doesn't. I mean, that's what we've come to know. We just said the sun rises every morning. It comes up in a new day. The world makes sense. But with the person, I said, we can talk about it. I can't give you the answer. We can talk about it. And what do we say about talking about it? I can shed some light on it. We can shed some light on it. So if we're in conversation, not if we're arguing or fighting or in opposition, but let's shed some light on it. And what did not the ancient people, our ancestors, say about it? The sun was going, the day was getting shorter, almost 5 hours shorter. If you think about that, that gets pretty scary if you don't really know how it makes sense, how the world makes sense. And so we have these big festivals where we actually participate in bringing the sense back to being sure the sun comes again and shines again in the dark of winter. And so that's what we're doing, is we're participating in the sense of the world. Almost everybody in here takes the sun coming back for granted, right? I mean, how many of you got up this morning and saw the sunrise and said, whoa, lucky day, you know? This is great. I'm good. The sun came up today. See? One person. Huh. And they might not be telling the truth, you know? No, they are. That person is. But that's that kind of thing of bringing it back. So solstice, awake to a solstice, what? Christmas. We're talking about the wheel of the year, the wheel turning. It goes from the abundance of summer, the verdancy of spring, the rebirth of spring, the abundance of summer, the harvest of the fall, to what? The darkness of winter. Our days are like that. Every day is like that. We have joy. We have excitement. But it turns. Something happens. It's not so exciting anymore. We may lose our health. We may lose our fortune. We may lose our joy. We may lose our pleasure. But the wheel turns even in our days. In medieval churches, if you looked up in the windows of a lot of them, they had a wheel up there. And it was the wheel of fortune. Taken from where? Pagan, Roman wheel for the goddess of Fortuna, or fortune, wheel of fortune. At the top of the wheel was the king. At the bottom was the pauper. It was acknowledging that the wheel kept going around. You couldn't get on the top. And at the center was fortune, something different than that daily back and forth. So the church did what? The Christian church put Jesus at the center. And what does that say? I mean, you can apply different theologies, but it says there is something more than the wheel of the year, the wheel of fortune, of good and bad, but it comes back to something more. If we just get stuck in whether we've got enough money, how healthy we are, whether we're happy or not, and we're attached to that, it makes it very hard to live. But there's a sense, and the language that's used is something that transcends, is above all of that. I don't think that way. There's something that is within all of that. We're talking about the sun coming up every day. The earth rotating, turning into night, coming up, the orange sticks of the sun recreating the day. So it's coming from within. So if Jesus can be that focus and Christmas can be that sense of matching suffering with wonder, right? Bringing it in, a new birth, new baby. New possibility, brightness, hope, love, all of those things. Now you ask me, how do I make this real? What does this mean to me? How do I apply any of this in my life? I had the gift this week, and I didn't ask these people if I could share this, so I can't share who they are. But I had a wonderful appointment, really, with a couple this week, in the evening, and we were sitting there talking about all kinds of different things. And the woman said, you know about the 6 degrees of separation? You know, where if I speak to you, if I know you and I talk to you and you speak to somebody else and we connect, that within 6 degrees it could turn out that I'm connected to Tom Cruise. She had a thing about Tom Cruise. And but it was, and this is where it went really cool. What if you applied that to love? Okay? And it wouldn't be a separation, but of connection to love. So that if I love you, do something loving to you, then you, and where does it go? And how does, it's sort of like your 5 happy things, you know? And he said, what about anger if you did the same thing? And this couple applies this as a practice in their lives because they interact with students and people, and they say, what if I'm impatient then with one child? What happens to them in the hallway? And then with that child going home to their home, and how does it all connect? Well, for those of you who want a jolt of Christmas, just take a step back, you know? Remember, the sun is only coming back how many seconds a day? Less than 1 second today, and only 10 seconds by Christmas. But it's going to be almost 5 hours by June. What if, rather than looking for getting Christmas spirit, you just went, I'm going to show a little bit of it. I'm going to connect with wonder. I'm going to make this stuff real. Remember in one of our readings, Victoria Safford talks about that because we are able to wonder, we are called to do it. We're actually called to transform our wonder into something that endures even after the moment passes. The calling is to transform awe into some kind of commitment, some kind of promise. To stay what? Awake. And keep alive the change that takes place in us. So that's what we can do this Christmas. That's what we can do for hope. That's what we can do for sense in the world. And that's what we can do to get that jolt of Christmas spirit. Is to just start with us, some little piece, and bring back the sun in our own space. We can awake, come alive to a solstice in that the light is coming back like it does every day. Christmas. The fact that it can become real in our lives and we can make a difference in the world. So thank you. Happy holidays to all of us. And as we say, 6:53, if you're not coming to the Christmas Eve service, we should do it right now, which summarizes all of this. How short the daylight hours have now become, how gray the skies, how barren seem the trees. A damp and chilling wind has gripped my mind and made me gloomy too. But there is that, join me in it, but there is that in me which reaches up toward what? And laughter, bells and carolers, and knows that my religious myth and dream of reborn joy and goodness must be true, because it speaks the truths of older myths, that light returns to balance darkness, life surges in the evergreen and us, and babes are hope and saviors of the world, as miracles abound in common things. Rejoice and join in the gladness of Christmas.